Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
To a new way, you'll leave this strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Yeshua, thank you. Jehoshua, praise you, Lord. Praise you. Mighty, mighty Jesus, hallelujah. Mighty, hallelujah, Yeshua. Mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom. My brother, my sister, welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your brother in Christ, Brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for the opportunity to give us to share His word. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah. And so we are being grateful. Thank you, Lord, to being able to share His word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel, hallelujah, touched to talk about the seven-year famine, my brother and sister, because I believe this is the last year, hallelujah, or by the end of this year, we are going to see the stock market. We're going to see the international market to go down, my brother and sister. And I found more information on the Bible in regard to these topics that I would like to share with you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because a lot of people are going to panic when this begins to happen. A lot of people, hallelujah, will feel like God has forsaken them, left them, abandoned them when they begin to see the economy begins to go down in such a way where our politician, our government, our leaders will not have control of this. And I'm going to explain to you why did this happen every other 7 years. Why do we get a famine every other 7 years? It's biblical. It's been since the beginning. And I'm going to share with you that this began in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve disobeyed the one commandment that God gave them, that from the day they were eaten from the tree of the fruit of life and knowledge, hallelujah, the eye will be open. The fruit of knowledge, the eye will be open, my brother and sister. And they found themselves naked afterward, my brother and sister. So I believe this is very important that we talk about this because, again, a lot of people will be caught by surprise, like in 2008, when the seven-year famine began in the United States, the economy began to, hallelujah, go down so much. A lot of people lost everything. A lot of people had heart attack, stroke. A lot of people end up in the hospital. I was at work when this happened, and a few of the gentlemen who had their money invested in the stock market ended up in the hospital with heart attack and so much more. Okay? And so before, hallelujah, this began to happen again, beginning with the end of this year. Okay, let me tell you that this is biblical, and this has been happening for thousands of years, and we need to have a biblical knowledge of this, my brother and sister, before it begins, because I'm going to tell you by the word that this is beginning this year, and there's nothing anyone can do. I will show you by the word. I will share you by the history. There is nothing anybody can do. It's up to God to do so. And the Bible tells us the reason why God is going to, hallelujah, why this is coming upon our life, and it's because the word of God already has been spoken. My brother and sister, in regard to this, regard to the famine and the blessing. Okay? Now, when you go to Genesis, okay, chapter 1, we begin to read and know how God began to bless the earth and establish everything in a place, my brother and sister. Everything that was out of order. When you read Genesis 1, the first thing you read is, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But on verse 2, we see that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, my brother and sister. The condition of the earth at this point, hallelujah, it was not pretty. It was totally empty, and there was nothing there, my brother and sister, when God began, hallelujah, to organize everything, if you want to say, or put everything in its place. And God said, let it be light, and there was light. The first thing that God called, or the first someone, light, hallelujah, is Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world, okay? When God says light, he's calling upon his son. The second and first thing we see here, okay, and it's after everything was ending, then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And as God organized everything into his place, the water is in the above. The Spirit of God is moving in the water in the above. But the Lord, Father calls his son, Jesus, to shine in the darkness. Because he already told us that, hallelujah, there was darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. So he has to call upon his son to organize everything back into order, my brother and sister. And God saw that the light was good, and God divided the light from darkness. Okay? The kingdom of the Lord Jesus from the kingdom of Satan. Satan and his demon were on the earth in this occasion. When it says that darkness was on the earth, hallelujah, because they have fallen in the beginning before God created, made the garden, my brother and sister, and organized and put Adam and them there, my brother and sister. Okay? Very important we know and understand this. They were already here. Darkness was already here, my brother and sister. God called the light day, my brother and sister. Okay? In darkness, he called it night. Okay? He called the darkness night. He called, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah. Why did God call the light, hallelujah? God called the light, hallelujah, day. In darkness, he called night. Because in darkness, the devil has his kingdom and his demon. In the day, in the light, the Lord Jesus has his kingdom, which are us. So God called the light day and darkness and night and the evening, the morning and the first day. So God said, let it be the firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the water from the water. You know, the salty water from the drinkable water, fresh water. My brother and sister, God made the firmament, divided the water which are under the firmament from the water which were above the firmament, and it was so. Hallelujah. Verse 8. So God called the firmament heaven in the evening, and the morning was the second day. Okay? Now, and God said, let the water under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. So what was, according to verse 9, the water was in the heaven. Okay? And so it was placed under the heaven. Let the water be gathered together in one place. So God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together the water, he called it sea, and God saw that it was good. All this is prophetic, my brother and sister. Okay? But the light is to rule over the day and darkness over the night. Two separate kingdoms. Okay? So until this point, if we continue reading, we'll see that God blesses everything. Everything was blessed by him to this point, my brother and sister. On chapter 3 of Genesis now, we heard about the serpent now, hallelujah, that entered into the darkness. He, through him comes the curse, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, into the garden. Oh, he comes to create the curse through Adam, because the earth was created for Adam and Eve, for men. Adam and Eve have to disobey God in order for the curse to enter. And so in order for death to enter, Satan had to have them disobey God. So Satan and death are working together here, because they cannot enter into the into man's life yet unless Satan tempted Adam to eat from the fruit that God said for them not to eat, my brother and sister. Okay? They have his dominion. Satan has his dominion. But the only thing is they're working together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So in verse 17, hallelujah, after Adam and Eve sinned, God said it unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shall thou eat all the days of thy life. There it goes. There comes the curse. Okay? Adam had to sin, and Eve had to eat, had to disobey God in order for the curse to enter. This is what the devil is looking for. When the devil comes to tempt you, the tempter, he comes to have you disobey the Lord in order for the curse to come on your life. In another word, my brother and sister, when humanity rejected the gospel, when people began to backslide in the church and humanity began to disobey God, like in the times of Noah and the times of Lot, that opened the door for the coronavirus. But even worse, it opened the door for the coronavirus by sin, my brother and sister. The coronavirus by sin will keep people now, because they become part of the kingdom of death, my brothers and sisters. Remember, they could not enter into the garden until Satan had them disobey God, my brothers and sisters. The coronavirus cannot enter into people's life until the devil has tempted them and have them disobey God. And when it does, it opens the door for the by sin, my brothers and sisters, which comes out of the kingdom of death. Okay, keep that in mind. Praise the Lord. Very important. We know this. So verse 18, so turning also in Tirso shall bring forth to thee, thou shalt eat the earth of the field, and the sweat of thy face shall thou eat the bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for thus thou art, and unto thus thou shalt return. Okay? Praise the Lord. So at that very moment, that opened the year. How many days did God took to create the earth? We know it took him seven. He created in six, but rested on the seven. Finished his work on the seven, on the Sabbath, and entered his rest, establishing everything by seven. My brother and sister, his work is established by seven. Okay? So the famine is also established by seven, my brother and sister. 7 years, famine, okay? Now, here is what get people to question God and say, praise the Lord. I'm going to take you to Genesis 12. I want you to hear what the Lord says to Abraham, father of faith. I want you to notice that God makes all these promises to Abraham. But because what Adam and Eve did, the famine affects everyone, no matter whom they are, my brother and sister, even with having God's mighty promise to you. Okay? This is not for you to dismay or say, if God with me, did God abandon me? How come I have no finance there anymore? Or my checks are not coming in? No. The righteous should live by faith, God says. In other words, God will provide one way or another. Here, listen to this. Genesis 12:1. The Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred into thy father's house, into the land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that blesses thee, curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all the family of the earth shall be blessed. Look, all the blessing God promised to Abraham, in that all the family of the earth will be blessed through him. Why? Because he will be walking by faith. The blessing has already been spoken. Okay? You don't chase after the blessing. You chase after the Lord. You chase the Lord, the one who made the blessing, the promise. Verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Okay? He took his wife. We read the whole story. Now, when we go down to verse 10, my brother and sister, down to verse 10, I want to show you something. Hallelujah. There was a famine in the land. Okay? And these famines are 7 years. 7 year famine. And this is where people say, are you kidding me? Thank God they just made me this promise yesterday or last week. Why am now I have no water to drink or no food to eat, not even for me and my family or my animal? What's happening in there? And if you have someone negative will say, but didn't you say, sister? Didn't you say, brother, that God made you this promise? How come you, well, there's no water? What are we going to drink? There's no food. What are we going to drink? And they began to speak all kinds of negative things and all that. But you said that you were in prayer and God spoke to you and God told you how he's going to bless you, that you don't need to worry. He was even going to bless your seed. He was going to supply to you. How come we have nothing to eat? What are we going to do, my brother and sister? Hallelujah. Be careful. We're thinking that what God has spoken is not going to come to pass because it's going to come to pass. But in this life, we will have trial and tribulation. The Lord said, every day, Jesus said, will bring us on trouble. What you and I go through are part of everyday trouble. But God's promises never change. They already have been spoken over our life, my brother and sister. And you cannot look at your circumstances now as the things that you don't have to blame God and say, well, I don't have this. Okay? His promise will come to pass no matter what. Thank you, Jesus. Very important. We stand on his promise. Hallelujah. God just made all these promises to Abraham. Okay? A few days after begins a 7 year famine. My brother and sister, Genesis 12:10. And there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down unto Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. My brother and sister, this is the moment to meditate. This is the moment to trust God. This is the moment to exercise thy faith. Faith without action is dead. What is the first thing that Abraham does is, okay, he figured out, well, with this, there is food in Egypt. I can bring my cattle there. I can bring my animals there and my family, and we can find food for these 7 years, and then we can come out blessed. God will bless us because God is with us. He is, I know moment here, I know second, I know moment Abraham is saying, but what happened to his promise? He promised me that he blessed me. And all of a sudden, famine, I had no food to eat. I had no water to drink. I cannot feed my family. I cannot feed my animal. Was it God that spoke to me? He's not doubting God for a second. He's not doubting God for a second. My brother and sister, he is moving on, still believing God, that no matter, he doesn't have the thing he needs right at this moment. But one way, somehow, God is going to provide according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. His promises are coming. His promises are there. But at this moment, he is being tested. His faith, which is more precious than gold, is being tested at this moment. My brother and sister, you see why the Lord wanted me to bring this teaching tonight? This is very important because this year, a lot of people, and next year even worse, will find this own questioning. Didn't God made us so many promises? What happened? And a lot of people will backslide. A lot of people always speaking negative. No. Stand on his promise. Stand on the word. Very important that you stand on the word, because tests are coming like it came to Abraham, father of faith, my brother and sister. God made all these promises and the famine came. But God is also showing how faithful is Abraham. Stay faithful to God. How faithful he is that he doesn't stop there and begin to speak negative. Neither Sarah, neither none of them are saying, but Abraham, you said that God make you all these promises. Where are they? There's no food. There's no water, Abraham. What's going on here? Did God speak to you? Because a lot of people will go there. Don't go there, my sister. Don't go there, my brother. Stay faithful to your God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Very, very important. I believe this message is a massive important, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord, in the time we're living. So, and it came to pass when he had come near to and to enter Egypt, that he said unto Sarah, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. You are a beautiful woman, he said. Okay? Therefore, it shall come to pass that when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, and they shall kill me. But they, hallelujah, they will say, be alive. So God, he's already planning, okay, how to get out of this. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord. Okay? My brother and sister, amen. Stand on God's promises. Stand on God's promises. No matter what happened. We know the story, Abraham and Sarah. We're not going to go there because we have so much more to share. My brother and sister, I might not be able to finish everything tonight. Okay? But we will come back to it next week. I believe we need to have a few weeks, okay, talking about this famine that is about to come in the United States and the world, because I believe, and I know because the Lord is putting this in my heart, that a lot of people are not prepared, are not ready for this famine. Although we have spoken about it a few months ago, my brother and sister, still to this day, a lot of people aren't prepared for this. And they're going to find themselves struggling so much, okay? And they may walk away from the faith. They might even start praying. They might even start fasting. They might even start claiming God's word. They may even get bitter with God, angry at God, angry with the brothers and sisters. My brother and sister, I am speaking this to you tonight before it comes. Hallelujah. I believe God wanted me to speak this tonight, because there are a lot of people that are unprepared for what is coming on the United States and the world, my brother and sister. Famine, another 7 years of famine are coming. These 7 years might be the worst you ever have encountered in all your life. But know this. Know this, that God is with us. And that God, as he has said to me, as he has promised us in his word, is going to take care of us, my brother and sister. He's going to keep us. He is going to protect us in all these 7 years of famine that we're about to enter. God is going to keep us. God is going to bless us. God is going to provide even supernaturally if we believe him. God can supply supernaturally food, water, and clothing, everything we need. I believe the vision that I have started this past Saturday morning from the Lord, where I saw myself and a group of brothers and sisters down here in the Great Tribulation, giving people food and water, I think it go beyond the Great Tribulation. Okay? I believe there will be a time before we leave that we may find ourselves in this matter, because years ago the Lord showed me this before the Great Tribulation, okay, where I saw the United States in a great famine where the stock market has fallen and people were going hungry before the Great Tribulation. The timing and the season, I know now when this is coming. But I believe this next famine, I feel it in my heart, my brother and sister. It's going to be a great one for this nation and the world. And I believe this nation and the world are not ready. And as a servant of the Lord, I want to sound the shofar. I want to sound the trumpet in regard to this famine. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be like the 2008. I believe so much money has been spent in the world. The world has quadrupled the misspending my brother and sister, this nation, Europeans, the Chinese, all these countries, not so much China, are misspending so much, quadruple the misspending, that when this famine comes, and it's going to come, and I'm 100% sure, as I learned in investing in 2016, hallelujah, my brother and sister, I learned that every single famine before it begins, and I've seen it since 96, 97, my brother and sister, hallelujah, I remember being in church with our pastor when our rabbi told him about this famine that comes year after year. And the boom that they saw in the 98, 99, okay, he said it was not, he said when it was going to end, when things were going to slow down, and when will people lose their home. And they lost so much in this country and around the world that this is going to be repeated again. My brother and sister, I knew that by 2008, when it began the next famine, my brother and sister, hallelujah, by the end of 2007, the Jewish people had taken the trillions out of the stock market. And this is why one reason is going to go down out of control, because they do this before every famine. Why? Because they follow Torah. They follow the commandment of God, my brothers and sisters. And this is how they invest, and that's how they pull their money out of the market. Trillions of dollars they pull every time they do this. And the stock market, without those trillions of dollars, my brothers and sisters, they put them in savings. They take them out and put them in the savings. They invest it in diamond or whatever, Shalom Sister Consuelo, or in gold. And oil, whatever they invest their money in, but they put it, like they call it, like in a safe haven. My brother and sister, with their money, they believe is secure, like in diamonds. They buy diamonds with it, okay, in their store. They put it in these ball, secure ball, my brother and sister, okay, with all kinds of insurance. And they do this before every famine. And then the rest of the world who are not familiar with Torah, with the commandment of God, my brother and sister, they go crazy investing, doing this, doing that. They think that the stock market going down is an opportunity. And then in those 7 years, they begin to lose, and they find themselves broke, my brother and sister. And that's why a lot of people lose their house, their property, their land. So much they lose. Their car even, my brother's, their condo, they lose their loan, the school loans, house loans. It's so much mess that comes from this. My brother and sister. So I believe we're going into the word about all this. And I'm giving you a heads up of everything we're going to be talking about, my brother and sister, because I believe this is very necessary. I believe God is putting me this in my heart to share, because there's an urgency to this, my brother and sister. Before this began to fall down like dominoes, we need to share and prepare God's people. Because our promises come from God, not the stock market, not the government, but a lot of people get their check from government in a different way. So warning them, preparing them before it comes is very important. It gets to the point where God is saying to Sister Barbara to store food, to store supply, that you will, immediate supply that you are going to need. So God is speaking to his prophet. Some of us got different knowledge in regard to this. But the seven-year Shemitah, the seven-year famine, is very biblical, my brothers and sisters. It began in Genesis after the disobedience of Adam and Eve, my brothers and sisters. And we see that Abraham, father of faith, entered into the seven-year famine. Okay? But we saw that God kept him and his family. God blessed him. God protected him, my brothers and sisters. And amen to that. God is faithful. Thank you, Gia. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Genesis, I want you to see it again in the life of Jacob, my brother and sister. Now, Jacob, hallelujah, the grandson of Abraham, my brother and sister, Genesis 26, hallelujah, enter also, and I know there was one in Isaac, but hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Isaac is first, yes. Genesis 26, And there was a famine in the land. Genesis 26, verse 1, I'm in. There was a famine in the land besides the first famine. Okay? Notice how famines are counted in the Bible. We, the Christian, don't do that. We don't keep a note when the famine were. This is important. God's people kept a note when this famine happened. Like if we had a famine in 2008 that began in 2008, when did it end in 2015? Okay, then the blessing 2015 goes to 2020 to 22. 7 more years is 22. Okay, when 2021. We know that in 22 then begins the second famine. My brother and sister. You see how important we are? This month of June is practically told. We're almost in July. Okay, month 7. That means we have 5 months to prepare like whatever God leads you to have or purchase, because you can still purchase something in these 5 months. But it's not going to change the outcome of what was going to happen. But at least you will be ready and prepared for what is coming. And that's why God is telling his people to storage and prepare, my brother and sister. And that's why this coming Tuesday, we want to be on the topics and ask all the questions you want to ask. And I'm going to try to answer to the best knowledge, biblical knowledge that we can. You can also buy books on famine and Shemitah. Okay? There are great books online that you can buy and really research the study to the biblical point. Okay? Some rabbi talks about it very well and they can explain it very well. Okay? From the biblical view, this never changes. This always been the same. I'm going to show you how David dealt with the famine. What is the difference between the famine for the world and the famine for the church, for God's people? Amen? I'm going to explain that to you also. It's biblical. I'm going to explain it. You will see it. Now, look, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the day of Abraham. See how they keep it account? Isaac went down to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, and to Gerar. He went there. Okay, he went there. The Lord appeared unto him and said, go now down to Egypt. Okay, God began to enter being in the life of Isaac in regards to this. Okay, my brother and sister. God will enter being in some people not to make any move. Are you listening? God may tell you, don't move from where you are. In Abraham's case, he moved. God was with him. In Isaac, see how two people are different in the Lord? How God deals differently with us? This is very important. Don't confuse what God is telling this person to what God is telling you. Okay? Because God may want this Abraham guy to move in this Abraham other guy, Isaac. This other Isaac not to move. You see the difference? But why God is telling you to move? He's not telling me to move. He told me to stay. What do I do, sister? What? You trust the Lord. Okay, that's not for questioning God. Now, no, don't go there. Don't go there, sister. Don't go there, brother. Verse 2. The Lord appeared unto him and said, go now down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I will tell thee of. Okay? Now there was a specific place which God has in a specific place for each and one of us. Okay? God had in a specific place where he wanted Isaac to dwell in. God has in a specific place where he wants you to stay. Okay? You may watch people running crazy. I'm selling my house. I'm moving. But wait, I don't know. Don't you do the same. You pray. You seek God. Very important. My brother and sister. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and to thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, will give unto thee all these countries, and thy seed to all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandment is active and my law. Here's the difference. Even though Abraham did all that, God was with him, he was not in disobedience. And what the devil means for evil against Abraham, because he needed water, food, and things like that, hallelujah, God supplied to him in Egypt. But that unto Isaac, right where he was, God says, stay there, Isaac, and I will bless you there. See the difference now? Make sure you are being led by the Lord. Don't start now going crazy. No, no, no. All these topics that we're going to talk about in this Bible study, that's why I tell you it needs to be extended for more Tuesday, my brother and sister, because there's so much to talk about. You'll see. Thank you, Lord. Now, Genesis 41, my brother and sister, hallelujah. And this is now in the life of Jacob, hallelujah, and his family. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Let's go there now and compare, hallelujah, Genesis 41, hallelujah, how God began ahead of Joseph, ahead of Jacob and his son, prepare a way where there seemed no way for food, for water, and for land, my brother and sister. God is the one providing here, okay? I want you to see, I'm going to read this from the complete Jewish Bible, because I want you to see for how many years was God working with Pharaoh and the two dreams that God gave Pharaoh about the famine. So you see that God was working the way for Joseph, for Jacob, and all his family and son, and their family, my brothers and sisters, in order for them to have enough during the seven-year famine. Okay? Remember the order. You first get 7 years of abundance, and then you get 7 years of famine. The abundance always comes first. Why? Because in the abundance, you prepare. That's when God says prepare, prepare. Once you are in the famine, okay, you can't prepare no more. I say you are in the famine. You have to deal with whatever you're facing if you're not prepared. You have to deal with your lust, because famine is lost. The land go barren. The land loses everything. The land doesn't produce anymore. Okay, barren. It's just terrible. Okay? The land go barren. There's nothing. Okay, so Genesis 41, I want you to see this. Verse 1, at the end of the 2 years, end of 2 years, look how long God was working with Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing beside the Nile River, and they came out of the river 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they began feeding on swamp grass. After them, there came up out of the river 7 more cows, miserable looking, ugly looking, is another translation, and lean, skinny, and they stood by the other cow on the edge of the river. Then the miserable-looking lean cow ate up the 7 sleek, fat cow. At this point, Pharaoh woke up, but he went to sleep again and dreamed a second time, 7 full, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, 7 full, the second time, 7 full ripe ears in grain grew out of a single stalk. After them, 7 ears, thin blasted they by the wind, hallelujah, spread up, and the thin ears swallow up the 7 full right ears. And the Pharaoh woke up and realized that it has been a dream. Okay? He finally realized it was a dream. God was working with Pharaoh to put in position a blessing Isaac and his family and to increase Joseph into the position he made him the promise to in the beginning, to dream, my brother and sister. Dream, again, dream is a way for God to communicate with his people. Don't undermine dream. Don't take dream for granted. Take them serious. When God speaks to you for a dream, seek to understand what he's telling you. If you don't, and even you can seek more understanding of your dream from God. Don't take them for granted. Don't say, oh, it's just a dream. No. Seek from God to understand what he's telling you. And then if you're missing something about the dream you had, ask the Lord to give you more and wait upon the Lord. It's very important, my brother and sister. Amen. So in the morning, he found himself so upset that he summoned all the magicians of Egypt, all the wise men. Pharaoh told them his dream, but no, No one could interpret them for him. Then the chief of the cupbearer said unto him, today today remind me of something where I was at fault, and Pharaoh was angry with the official and put me in prison. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He put me in prison at the house of the captain guard. Me and the chief baker, one night, both him and him had a dream. Each man's dream had his own meaning. There was a young man, a Hebrew, a servant of the captain guard. Notice how he's identified as a Hebrew. A man of God, in other words. Okay? A man of God. Okay? A servant of the captain, because the Hebrew people were the one that have their own God, different than all the nations. It's like saying a Christians. Okay? Christ-like. Okay? So, a Hebrew servant of the captain guy, and we told him our dream, and he interpreted them for us. He interpreted each man's dreams individually, and they came about, and he interpreted it to us, and I was restored to my office, and he was hanged. Then Pharaoh summoned Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon and shaved himself. He shaved himself and changed his clothing, and they came out to Pharaoh. And the movie of Joseph, they show other people, Shalom Sister Renee, shaving Joseph, but the Bible said he shaved himself. Okay? Thank the Lord. Verse 15, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I had a dream, and there was no one who could interpret it, but I heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. But Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is in me. What Joseph is showing his humility. When God uses you for something, glorify him. Okay? If God shows someone a dream and say, oh, I saw you, this is and that, stay humble. Stay humble. Very important. God wants us to stay humble, my brother and sister. Humility. Give God glory for everything. So just the answer is, listen to me. God will give Pharaoh the answer that will set him his mind at peace. Amen. Okay, God. He points to God. Always points to God. Hallelujah. All glory to him, my brother and sister. Let his will be done and not our own. Very important. Verse 17. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream I stood at the edge of the river, and they came up out of the river, seven cows, fat and sleek. And he's telling the whole story. I never looked at a cow in another land of Egypt. Verse 20. Then he leaned a miserable looking cow up to the first cow, and he keeps telling the dream. But I dreamed this again, seven, and then he tells the story again. And then verse 25, Joseph now. Okay, to make the long story short, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh are the same. Okay, he immediately can tell that the dream meant the same. Okay? Two of the dreams looks different, but they both meant the same. So when you have a dream, when you dream a dream today, you dream a dream the next day or the next week, try to compare the dream. Okay? Try to compare the dream, because they may mean the same. Okay, you can write down the dream and then compare them too. You can pray about the dream, and you may get that they're the same dream. God is giving you the same message. The dream may look different, but it might be the same message is what I meant to say. So when you look at dreams in your life, compare what God is saying to you, because this message might be the same. Okay? Remember, God speaks to dreams. And God was speaking to, hallelujah, to these people. So Joseph said unto Pharaoh, dreams of Pharaoh are the same. God told Pharaoh what he's about to do. The seven good cow are 7 years. The seven good ears are grain in 7 years. The dream are the same. Likewise, the seven lean and miserable looking cow that came out of the 7 year, also seven empty year blasted by the wind. There will be 7 years of famine. Okay? My brother and sister. It all came to dreams. A lot of people, because the Lord said in Matthew 24, for the signs and wonder, look for signs. Okay? And that's okay. To Matthew 24. There will be signs before his coming. that indicate Jesus is coming or Jesus is about to come. You can also see signs in the economy world. You can see signs in heaven, signs on earth. Okay? Bible says pillars and smoke, okay? And that means that there will be earthquakes happening in the right places. He says, talk about earthquake, okay? And so much more. There's smoke coming from different places of the earth. Hallelujah, of different things that are being awakened on the earth. The Lord said there will be pillars of smoke. Can be also nuclear weapons going off in different places, nuclear bombs going off in different places. Okay, the pillars of smoke can be formed in different ways, but these are signs in regard to, excuse me, to judgment. But in regard to famine, you can see in different places things happening. I heard about locusts in different places of the earth where the corn, where they were growing wheat, corn, things like that. Now they're not able to because our locusts are not eating it quickly. My brothers, these are all signs of the famine that is to come. Because I noticed in the year previous that we had a lot of things like this happening before the famine began. These are signs that the famine is approaching quickly. The signs of dead birds, dead fish, okay? A lot of dead fish, Pastor Bagley has been reporting a lot of dead fish and a lot of dead birds dropping down from the air in Colorado, my brother and sister, in different places of the earth. Why is this happening? I believe this is pointing to the famine. All these things are pointing to the famine. Okay, don't take them for granted, because the more they happen, the more intense the famine will be, my brother and sister. Okay? The earth becomes so severely, a lot of Jewish people call the famine rest. Rest. The land is going to rest for 7 years, my brother and sister. Okay? And they get that under the law. They can see under the law of Moses, my brother and sister. Okay? Because in the famine, you don't work. You cannot plant. Okay? You don't even plant. Don't even plan to plant because they'll lose what you plan. A lot of people that have planned have lost more than what they invested in planning or planting. So be careful with that. Amen? Take it serious because it's been around since the beginning of the garden. Okay? This is nothing new. So there'll be seven years of famine. Okay? And what I told Pharaoh, God shows Pharaoh what he's about to do. Okay? God is about to do this. Because God looked at his word, his promise, and God made sure his word is fulfilled too. Okay? So that's why, because God spoke it, you say God is going to do it. But his word already has been spoken. And it's not going to return back void. It will always bring the abundance, and it will always bring the famine. That's why you and I can claim his promises. Because it already has been spoken. Thank you, Lord. Verse 39. Here it is. There will be 7 years of abundance throughout the whole land. But afterward, there will come 7 years of famine, and Egypt will forget that all the abundance. This is exactly what's about to come to the United States. Okay? That right now, the 7 years of abundance are finishing, are almost done. Okay? Are almost fulfilled. Now we're about to enter into the 7 year famine. How many people are ready for this? Okay? Because they will tell you, oh, the reason why the economy is falling is because of this, because of that in those 7 years. They'll accuse people. They'll point finger. They may even throw people in jail for causing the economy fall and all that. It has nothing to do in that regard, my brothers and sisters. It's because it's biblical, and since the garden, it has been happening, and it's going to happen. And the only thing God's telling us is to prepare for it. Okay? I want you to hear what Joseph says about this. Okay? The abundance will not be known in the land because the famine will follow, because it will be truly terrible. Why was the dream double to Pharaoh? Because the matter has been fixed by God, and God will surely cause it to happen. Why will God cause it to happen? Because God fulfilled his word. Okay, God fulfilled his word. God fulfilled his promise, my brother and sister. Okay? He fulfilled his promise. Let it be for good, yes, or let it be for punishment. He fulfilled his promise. Verse 33, therefore Pharaoh should look for a man both discreet and wise to put in charge of the land of Egypt. Okay? Decreed, my brother and sister, hallelujah, to be wise, yes, but to be decreed, okay? A person, when you are decreed, you are careful how you do everything and who do you talk to. Because in famine, people go looting. People go stealing. And if you say, I have a 50-pound bag of rice in my garage or in my storage, and you're going about with your big mouth, they're going to break into the garage and steal it from you. Whatever you storage, whatever you put away, be decreed. Be wise. Be careful not to be saying, I have this, I have that, because you may lose what you have if you are not decreed, if you are not wise, my brother and sister. This is why these words are there for you and I. You're going to have to be careful. Don't go around your neighbors now. Don't go about your neighbors telling them or your friends, oh, I got this. I'm all set for 7 years. It can come. Let it come. It's not going to affect me. I have this. I have that. And they're listening. They're listening to you. If you're not decreed, in other words, they don't need to know what you have. They don't need to know if you have food storage, water storage. Do it for you and your family, but keep it between you and your family. Tell your children not to be opening their mouth, because there are people listening who will go after what you have, who will steal what you have, my brother and sister. Be decreed, man. Be careful. Therefore, you should look for a man, and this can be woman also. Okay? Esther came in a time when the Jewish people would need them to be saved, my brother and sister. She came at the right time. She was a woman. Okay? Be a man. It could be a woman. Be decreed. Be wise. Be wise. Please be wise. Both decree wise to be put in charge of the land. Pharaoh should do this, and he should appoint a supervisor over the land to receive 120% of tax on the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. Okay? A lot of people, and this happens too, takes advantage of the 7 year, my brother and sister, abundance. Okay? My brother and sister. Okay? A lot of people take advantage and they lend to people. And then they take back more than taxes. Percent tax, he said. Tax. Charging people a tax for what they're lending. And the bank will lend you a 8%, 5%, and even less in regular good time. But when the famine comes, they go up to 28, 30-something percent. Okay? So you can spend all your life paying the money back. Be careful not to borrow money during the famine. This is one thing. That's why we got the word there, percent in tax, of the products of the land. One thing is products are going to go higher. Okay? There is a fruit shortages in the United States and the world right now. Talking to my wife about this, we were watching the news together. There is a fruit shortages around the world. Okay? And the United States right now is considering fruit as a national security issue, my brothers and sisters, problem. And they are preparing themselves because of the fruit shortages. You want to be wise? If you are able to plant an apple tree, a peach tree, a pear tree, or anything like that, and that's the way you are, you can go to your local nursery and buy one, maybe for $50, $40, $75, okay, that is already producing apple, pear, peach, okay? Plant it, or you don't need even to plant it. You can keep it in a container, in a 5-gallon basket, and it will produce fruit right there for you. You don't need to plant it. Why do you want to have that? And you just keep watering, and it will produce your fruit. There is a fruit. It's a national fruit. It has become a national security problem. And the reason is because if there's not enough fruit, a lot of people, because you get a lot of vitamin C from the fruit, but B12, a lot of vitamin that your body needs, okay, D and A and so much more, okay? And if you don't have that, that can be a problem, okay? A lot of people will begin to get sick easily, okay? So this is a national security problem considered by the United States government, my brother and sister. They're getting ready. They're getting prepared. We need to be doing the same, my brother and sister. We need to be planting fruit, not solely depending on what's in the store, because most what's in the store, they're even playing game with it. They're putting stuff in the fruit that is not healthy for us, my brother and sister. We talked about this on the Lord's Hour. Plant your own tree. Go to your local nursery. Buy a fruit tree, okay? Keep it in a container if you don't have the land to plant it. Next to your house, next to your mobile home, whatever it is. Water it every other day. Look up how to water your fruit tree, and it will produce fruit for you right there. It will save you money. And if it comes to where fruit is too expensive, yeah, you're not able to afford it anymore, at least you'll have a fruit tree producing for you. One apple tree can produce up to 750 apples a year. If you get 500, 400, you will be great. You don't need more than that as a single person or as a couple. It should be enough for you. Prepare you and your family to be ready what is coming. Okay? One tree for one family should be fine of apple. One tree of apple, one tree of pear, and one tree of peach. They're great for you. And will keep you, and they can keep you, okay, in good health for the days to come. We don't know at what day or what hour our Lord is coming. We stay ready and we stay prepared. We live wise. The bride is wise and have made herself ready. Remember, it's up to you and I to do these things, my brother and sister. Please know and understand what the word is saying. It's up to you and I to prepare and make ready, my brother and sister. So prepare. Thank you, Lord. Verse 35. They should gather all the food products during these good years coming up and set aside grain under the supervision of Pharaoh to use for food in the city. And they should storage it. Now, storaging is what's important in the seven-year famine. You need to have a lot of beans, a lot of canned food storage. Now, the problem with canned food can only last 1 year storage. But there's product online on Amazon and different sites right now. Food that you can store for up to 20 years, 10 years. Okay? You don't need to have it for 20 years. At least 7 years, 10 years at least will be great. Okay? Buy some of that food. Keep it in your house, in your storage, whatever you can. And you don't need to have a lot of it neither. Just as much as can keep you alive during these times to come. Or as much as the Lord will lead you to store it also. Because the Lord can say, no, I want you to buy more, my daughter. Buy more, my son. Give you a dream to buy more. Okay? Amen. Thank you. Sister says she has four. Pear tree. That's it. Okay? That's important. They'll produce what you need. They will help you. Okay? You can get them on your local nursery. And local nursery, it's even better than Home Depot's and Lowe's because they get it from other places, other states. Your local nursery usually work with local tree and they'll know the zone. If you're zone 7, zone 8, zone 6, whatever you are, they'll help you where that. And the tree that they'll sell you will be for the zone where you are. Look up what zone you are in. Why is the zone important? Because the zone has to do with the season, the weather, how cold it is, how hot it is, okay? Most apple and pear trees and peach and plum can be, I think it's zone 5, zone 4 and up, okay? Zone 5 and 4 are like the coldest places, like Chicago, Washington, and like Massachusetts. Those are zone 4, 5, 6. They're very cold. And people, I have brother up north who has a pear tree, okay? He's about zone 5, and it's very cold up there. And it produces every year without any problem. He used to share pear with us, the church, my brother and sister, because they produce so much, more than 500 pair a year. That's a lot, he says, for him and his family. So, you know, it's, one pear tree can produce so much for you, and you get your vitamin C through that. Very important, my brother and sister. We prepare for these things before they come, because 7 years is 7 years, okay? We're hoping the Lord will come today or tomorrow. We always have that faith in the Lord, but we don't know how long we're going to be down here, okay? We just don't know. So we're waiting on the Lord, but we're being wise. We're preparing, because a lot of people will sit there in the house complaining. Why had God, I heard people say to me, why God have abandoned me, Brother Ovi? Why had God forsaken me, Brother Ovi? And I said, why? And then they tell me why. Because they never prepare. They never storage. They never prepare for the worst. Okay? God has not abandoned or forsaken you. God is giving you wisdom through his word, his servant speaking to you. Listen to him and prepare. Thank you, Lord. Verse 36. There will be the land's full supply for 7 year famine that will come over the land of Egypt, so the land will not perish as a result of the famine. Okay? I heard of land in Central America that's been abandoned. The land perished, my brother and sister. Because when the famine came, they growth stopped in it. And people did not prepare for it. Okay? And the land just perished. And Joseph warned Pharaoh of this. He warned Pharaoh this, to store enough food. In other words, you can store seeds, okay, fruit seeds. You can store them in containers. You buy paper towers in Dollar Tree, $1 for one roll of paper tower. You go in and you drive your seed. You dry them very well, and you can store them on papers and glass containers, seal them, put seeds away, okay? So when the famine passes, you can plant your seed, okay? Some seed, because they take months to sprout, to come out, you can plant them right at the end of the seven-year famine, and they'll be growing during the abundance. However God leads you to do it, you can probably even do it during the famine, because there is a difference between us and the world, which I'm going to show you during the famine, okay? The world is stuck during the famine, struggling and this and that. We, if we obey the Lord, God can bless even our land, my brother and sister. Because he told us in Deuteronomy 28, under his blessing, even our land is blessed. Under the curse, even the land is cursed, my brother and sister. Okay, so it's important. So let me go to Deuteronomy before I move, hallelujah, to Samuel. Let me go to Deuteronomy 28 and show you that under the blessing, the land is blessed, my brother and sister. And under the curse, the land is cursed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome God we serve, my brother and sister. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:4, blessed will be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy earth, the increase of thy cattle, the flock of thy... Blessed be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou come, and blessed shall thou when thou goest. And the Lord shall cause thy enemy. And then he keeps talking about the blessing in the storehouse, verse 8. Okay, and then he says, okay, and he shall bless thee and the land which the Lord God giveth thee, the land. That's in verse 8. See, the land is blessed. Under the blessing, the land is blessed. Okay, yes, soil is good. Also prepare with soil. Okay? Your house is blessed under the blessing, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So you prepare, you be wise, and you depend on the Lord. The Lord will provide for us. Okay? Verse 37, the proposal seemed good for both Pharaoh and to his official. Pharaoh said unto the official, can we find anyone else like him that the Spirit of God live in him? Okay? And so, now, the Spirit of God talked about relationship. Joseph has a relationship with God, and that's why he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Stick with your relationship with God. Please do so. Okay? Don't depart. depart from the left or the right. Understand, hallelujah, that God wants us to stay with him in obedience. So it was him that God chose, my brother and sister. It was him. Okay, now, let me move on. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. To Genesis, hallelujah, 43, and there was a famine that sore in the land. The famine, my brother and sister, repeat again. Okay, Genesis 45, 6. Felicia the Shuya has famine been in the land, yet there are 5 years in which there should neither be planting nor harvest. Okay? So there is a time when the famine is in the land that you don't plant. Okay? Knowing when to plant is important. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there are neither planting nor harvest. So during those 7 years, no. He said there was two that already happened, five were left, where you don't plant, no harvest. Okay? So you don't plant. It's important when to know when to plant. Okay? Very important when to plant. Okay? Genesis 45:11, and it will nourish, I nourish thee, for there are 5 years of famine, lest thou in the household, and all that has come to poverty. Okay? God can keep you blessed in those 7 years. That's why God doesn't want to expect you to go end up in poverty. No, he will provide. Genesis 47:4, they said, moreover, unto Pharaoh to sojourn the land, we have come for thy... And this is now Jacob and his sons, my brother and sister, which I don't want to read it quick. I want to read some of it, my brother and sister, because some of the people may find themselves also in this situation, okay? And they were still during the same 7 years of famine, but remember that God was with Jacob and his family, okay? Then Joseph came unto Pharaoh and said, my father and my brother and their flock and their herb and all that they have come out of the land of Canaan. Behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brother, what is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, well, we are also our father. Then said moreover unto Pharaoh, sojourn in the land, how we come to thy servant have no pasture for the flock, for the famine, and so in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servant dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spoke unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren have come unto me. The land of Egypt is before thee. The best land make thy father brother to dwell in the land of Goshen. Let them dwell. And if thou knowest any industrious man among them, make them the ruler over my cattle. Okay? Given the land of Goshen to the descending of Jacob was a promise that God said to Abraham that his descendant would dwell in the land of Egypt. And giving them the land of Goshen, and Goshen was the place where the children of Israel will have the priests. So when God later on will raise Moses, he can go to Goshen to speak to the priests, my brother and sister, to get them out of the land. So they were practicing their belief in Goshen because it was the land given to them, my brother and sister. Joseph brought Jacob and his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of my year in my life been, and have not obtained unto the day the years of the life of my father in the day in the pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brother and gave a possession out of the land of Egypt, and the base of the land in the land Ramesses as Pharaoh had commanded. Okay. Joseph nourished the father, brethren, and all the father, Herod, with the bread according to the family. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore. So the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by the reason of the famine. Okay. There are different famines that we have seen in the Bible. And we're going to see, as we continue to read, different how the famine affected people. Not different famine. It's the way some of the people, different generation, got affected by the famine. My brother and sister, there was no bread in all the land. Okay, because you need flour in order to produce the bread, and you need milk, and you need butter, and you need a lot of things in order to put all this stuff together. And those are the things, the cattle were dying, okay? And they were not either corn or wheat, they were not producing. So they couldn't make the bread that they needed, my brother and sister. So there are ways the land gets affected. And in different season, after two, I believe it's that, because I was listening to a rabbi years ago, a few months ago, in regard to the famine, he was saying that according to the Bible, after two famine, then you get a sore famine, a worse famine that brings lots of destruction upon the land. Okay? And this is, I believe this is what was seen in the United States. We have seen, as far as I can count, two famine. But I believe this third famine is the worst coming. Because the Lord has given me visions and dreams about a famine coming into the U.S. and the world, that will be the worst. Okay? So when I heard that of the two famines, you get a third one that is the worst, I believe this famine coming that we're about to enter is going to be the worst famine out of all the famine I have experienced in the United States, my brother and sister, that we are going to enter. Okay? I believe this is the one of the two. Okay? Now, there are times when God will skip a famine. And I use the word skip, okay? And it is that in the times of Solomon, when he reigned for 40 years, okay, Solomon did not see a famine like David, his father, saw. And he only saw the 7 years abundant. God extended for 40 years in the times of Solomon, my brother and sister. So God can bless you for years to come, and you may not even experience a famine. Okay? Because famine is mostly for the disobedience of the people in the world, people that are in sin. And there's a thing that points to a famine, and it's a shed of blood, which I'm going to show you, my brother and sister. When there's blood in the land, like the blood of the innocent, that could bring the grievous famine, my brother and sister. The blood of the innocent, I'm going to show you in the Bible, can bring the grievous famine. Okay? We're going to read that in 2 Samuel, my brother and sister. That's why I tell you, well, there's so much to share in regard to the famine throughout the whole Bible, all the way to the book of Revelation, that it's better for us to take weeks explaining this with great detail as much as I can, so people can get a good understanding, biblical understanding of the famine, and understand that this is the way it's been since the beginning. No one is going to change it, but only God can change it. God can change how the famine can come. God can make a famine a worse time into a good time for his people. In other words, because famine is a sign of a curse, God can turn it into a blessing for us. Instead of you going through the curse and losing everything, losing your house, No, God can keep you from losing your house, losing your car. Okay, and so much more. Okay, God can do all that to his own people, my brother and sister. The world can go through the worst and lose everything, but not the church, not God's people. Okay, we are blessed by him, and he can keep us and protect us, my brother and sister. Okay, so verse 14, Joseph gathered all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan for the coin which they bought, and Joseph brought the money unto Pharaoh's house. What Joseph was doing was great business, which a lot of the Jewish people do today during the famine. During the famine, they purchase. Okay? During the abundance, they sell. That's a great business they do. They still do that until this day. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, Ruth 1:1. Let's go there. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. So you see that, that so many people went through this, okay, but God can bring you out. And it came to pass that in the day when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, okay? So they began to rule during the time of a famine, the Bible says, okay? And a certain man of Israel, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name, the man was Abimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, the Ephrathite, and Ben the Judah, and they came unto the country of Moab, and they continued there, and Abimelech and Naomi, husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took themselves wife, and the woman of Moab, and the name, the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt about 10 years. Okay? So they finished the 7-year famine and went into the 3 years there of abundance still there. Okay? So they moved to live there. And Mothla and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman left without her two sons and her husband. Now, the story of Ruth, it is sad because the Naomi husband dies, my brother and sister, during the famine. Okay? The famine can bring death to people. Okay? It can bring death, my brother and sister. And this is something people take for granted. No, you need to prepare for everything because it can bring death during this famine. You can see more death during the famine than ever because this is when people begin to lose things, okay, that they're not even expecting they will lose, my brother and sister. Okay? Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left with her two sons and her husband. And then she arose with her daughter-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, which she had heard the country of Moab, how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Listen to this. On the other side, the Lord had visited the people, giving them bread. Miraculous, this is a miracle, how the country of Moab, she heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Supernatural. Remember I said supernaturally, the Lord can provide you. The Lord visited his people and given them bread. Imagine how much bread to the thousands of people back in the land of the promise, my brother and sister, because those people were waiting. These people moved to Moab and they lost everything, including their lives, but the other people, God was providing to them. Therefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters in law with her, and they went out of the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Judah, the Lord was feeding his people. This is why I tell you, stay where the Lord wants you to stay. Okay? Because you may move to another city, which is not like Judah. Judah is where the Lord have you be. That's where Judah is. Okay, in the sense the Lord wants you there. But you move out of Judah and you go to another place, to Moab, a type of Moab, the world. Moab represents the world. And you move to Moab, and on the other side, you not only lose the money, you're not only losing your saving, but you can lose your husband or your wife or your children, like Naomi, my brother and sister. But then you hear in the land of Moab, in the land of Judah, I remember the state where you were living or the city where you were living, God is providing to the people there. But in this case, it was supernatural. The Lord, hallelujah, was providing them with bread, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. So Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as he hath dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up the voice and wept. Hallelujah. In disobedience, you're going to cry. Because why is she crying so much? Why Naomi is so broken? Because in the land of Judah, before she went to Moab, She was being blessed by God. God was keeping her. Her hospital was fine. Her children was fine. Now they decided to go to Moab for one reason or another. Okay? Remember Isaac, God told him not to go out of there? Do not move, do not leave, because in this land, God says, he was in Judah. And God said to him, stay here, Isaac. And this, here I will bless thee, Isaac. Okay? And Isaac mentality, I will be thinking, well, my father went to Egypt, and God kept him and delivered him. Why can I not go? I mean, you're thinking, let me go down to Egypt. You're thinking you're making a wise decision. But no, you got to be led by the Lord. You got to pray. You got to fast. You got to seek the Lord leading your life. It's important, my brother and sister, that we seek the Lord for everything. Okay? So Noah and me now and Ruth are so much in pain because they love the people. They lost the people they love, my brother and sister. Now, I want you to see now, remember what I said earlier, that to us, we're going to another time when the famine came on the land, and King David is the king now. He is the king. King David did not experience famine like the rest of the people had, because King David was walking with God in a relationship. I would say a special relationship with God, personal relationship with God, where David could pray, God will hear him, and God will bless him and will bless the land also. Okay, like Solomon, his son. And so King David knew relationship like no other people in the Bible with God, my brother and sister. Okay, I want you to see this now. Thank you, Lord. It's in 2 Samuel. Okay, 2 Samuel 21. Let's go there now. I want you to see what relationship with God, why relationship with God is so important. Because King David had that, my brother and sister. He did not experience the famine as the rest of the people did. Okay, to him, it was different. Okay, thank you, Lord. Now, listen to this. Also, I want you to see the reaction of David when the famine comes. This got to be the reaction of the church when the famine comes. You got to take a stand. Got to take a stand. It's important. Okay, we'll see the example here. 2 Samuel 21. Then there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. Okay? Hallelujah. Years after years, David inquired of the Lord. Look at his attitude. Look at his position. The famine began. 3 years have passed. Every year, David is inquiring of the Lord. David is in prayer. David is seeking God. Because you are not like the world. The world loses, they cry, they weep, but not you in the Lord. You are different between you and God. Our God in us is different. We can pray and go to the Lord. We have hope in the Lord, my brother and sister. That's what I'm talking about, hope in the Lord, faith in the Lord. We are different. We take a different attitude. We take a different position, okay? David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. Now, he inquired for 3 years. Brother Elvis, I've been talking to the Lord, I've been praying, I hear no answer. How long have you been praying? For a few months, Brother Elvis. David waited for the Lord to answer him for 3 years. My brother and sister, I'm sure you haven't been waiting 3 years for the Lord to answer you. And if you had, like David, wait upon the Lord. My brother and sister, David was not complaining. Oh, for 3 years I've been praying, nothing. It's like God doesn't even hear me. You know, how am I going to? No, he kept praying. David kept praying. My brothers, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. And it is because of Saul and his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonite. My brother and sister, look at the reason why the famine came in the times of David. Because you and I are not supposed to suffer during the time of famine. Because our promises come from God, come from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. We depend on the Lord. There's no famine in heaven because famine and curse equal famine. We're not under the curse. We're under his blessing, my brother and sister. And if you're in a time of famine where there's nothing in your house, no income, no provision, don't take that lightly. Go into prayer with God and find out why. That's what David did. David went into prayer with God to find out why he was in famine. Why is his whole nation in famine? Why? Why? He was not taking it lightly. He was not sitting back, well, let's just wait 7 years, you know. As God said through Joseph, our father Abraham went through it too. It was because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Let's sit back and relax. Now, he inquired the Lord. He took an attitude to gratitude to seek the Lord, my brother and sister. 3 years, and after years, David inquired the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is because of Saul in his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. So this is why we're in famine. This is why we're losing. We're having so much perishing. So this is why you don't have a job. Or I don't have a job. This is why there's so much lack in the house. No food. Fridge is empty. Our storehouse is empty. Yep. You got to find out why. Find out from the Lord why. Instead of complaining, find out why. Verse 2. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, he was king in Israel when this happened. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites, the children of Israel, has sworn unto them, but Saul sought to slay them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. Why is the United States and the world going into a great famine soon? Because of the bloody blood they shed, my brothers and sisters. The blood of the innocent they shed. Look what King Saul did. Did not keep the seal. Did not keep the promise. And shed blood of the innocent. People right now that are shedding the blood in New York and all these countries. Okay, over 2,000-3,000 children are being killed every day in the United States. Okay, through abortion. Those blood of the innocent will now. This nation will not go unpunished. The world will not go unpunished for the innocent blood they're shedding, my brother and sister. This God will not ignore. This God will not overlook. But this has nothing to do with you and I, because you and I don't support abortion. We don't support these evil things. We don't support the shedding of this blood. They will be punished for that, but not you and I. You and I, hold on a minute. You and I are under his blessing, not his curse. Okay? My brother and sister. You and I, if we're going through something similar, we need to inquire like David asked the Lord. That's what you do. God, why? Show me why. Reveal me why. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray until you reveal me why, Lord. That's got to be your attitude. Please, Lord, I beg of you, Jesus, reveal me why. Show me why. Help me to understand why. In this matter, take it serious. Know that it's important because it's affecting you and your family. It's affecting you and your family. Your parents, I remember when someone, a sister contacted me. My wife, my mother doesn't have a job. My grandmother cannot work, and I don't have a job. We're going to lose our house. We have no food in the fridge. We need your help, Brother Elvin. And I said, yes, and the Lord spoke to me while she was to help her and told me that this family was special to him, my brother and sister. And immediately I went in prayer for them, and I told her to fast and pray. She said, yes. And she began to fast and pray, my brother and sister, and God answered right away. It was like, we began to pray that same week, provide what a job to her. My brother, it was right there, boom. the income began to come in right away for food and everything they needed. Because there are moments that you need God, marvelous, is it, to intervene. But the attitude in your heart is what God sees. That's the faith the Bible talks about, that if you have faith as the size of a mustard seed, you will speak to the mountain, be thrown into the sea, it will obey. That's the faith that will move your situation, that God will use to move your situation. Remember Jesus said, let it be done according to thy faith. That's what the attitude when you say, I'm going to fast and pray for this. I need God to do something right away. But you move toward God, obedient. You seek obedience because the curse has to do with disobedience. The blessing has to do with obedience. You turn to God in obedience. Not in disobedience. You turn to him in obedience. A lot of people in their heart, they turn to God in disobedience because they don't seek to obey. They seek to seek. Like almost the 5,000 that came and ate bread and fish and then turned away. They did not stop to listen to the Lord's teaching. They didn't care to follow him. They just were hungry. They ate the fish and bread and goodbye. See ya. Sayonara. Goodbye. They didn't care. They didn't care for his teaching. They didn't care to follow him. The attitude on the heart was just to receive the food, the meal. I turned back and left. A whole multitude of people. If they did that to Jesus, imagine how many people would do that to us here in the Lord's Hour or anywhere. If they did that to Jesus, the master, the rabbi, the greatest rabbi that ever stood foot on this earth, the greatest evangelist, the greatest pastor, greatest shepherd of the sheep, they did that to him. They only went and ate fish and a lion and, oh, thank you, shalom, shalom, goodbye. They didn't care. My brother and sister, God knows the heart. Verse 3, therefore David said unto the Gibeonite, what should I do for you? See, saw that injustice, David now is looking to do justice. You see? Hallelujah. Because that he knows is what God wants us to do. When God revealed to him the sin, the bloodshed, he immediately seeks to do justice in this matter. He knew that what the Lord revealed to him is a curse upon the land because of the bloodshed. How can I lift the curse now? My attitude has to be different. I have to approach the Lord to forgive these people, to restore what is just, to forgive the sin, that the curse will be lifted from the land. That's the attitude of David now. Therefore, David said unto the Gibeonite, what should I do for you? He's being careful in this matter, because when the matter is sensitive, when you deal with people, Saul has hurt these people. He now has to look forward to restore the relationship. My brother and sister, whereby should I make an atonement that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonite said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul nor of his house, neither for us shall thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say, that would I do for you. In other words, these men were righteous, my brothers and sisters. The way they're speaking, their speech right now is righteous. God was doing justice to the righteous. And David was the righteous man that God was using. You and I are the people God's going to use to set up a standard of righteousness on the earth, my brother and sister, where there's none. So be careful when a matter like this comes before you, okay? Don't disregard the person God is using you to lift the curse, okay? Verse 5. They answered the king, the men who consume us and who devise against us, that we should be destroyed for remaining in any border of Israel. Let 7 men of his son be delivered unto us. They're looking for justice. Don't ignore people when they're looking for justice. Guide them in the way they should go. Always lead them to God, and always lead them to have lawyers, to court. But if you ignore the cost of the righteous, you yourself may be ignored, and you yourself may find yourself lacking. Do righteous unto whom it belongs to. My brother and sister, this is how we live in the land, now ignoring those that are claiming righteousness. My brother, that are claiming justice also. Okay? Don't ignore the oppressed. Don't ignore the widow. Don't ignore the fatherless. Don't drive by them and act like you don't care. Because it matters concerning to us. To the church, God has given the homeless and the poor to take care. We are the one that we don't ignore. If you cannot support them financially, you need to be supporting them with your prayer, my brother and sister. And praying that their need will be supplied. That none of them will go to bed hungry. As God supplies you bread, you say, Lord, and the moment you're going to set to eat your bread, Lord supplies to them that have none. The Lord had me do this every day. Supply to them that have none. Before I eat anything, it can be an apple, it can be anything. Supply to them, Lord, that have none. Okay? Very important that you remember them, my brother and sister, and your prayer. Verse 6. Let 7 men and his son be delivered unto us. We will hang them up unto the Lord of Gibeah, of Saul, whom the Lord choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared the Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan's son and Saul. Okay, there was an oath between son Jonathan and Saul, and even that has to be kept. Nothing can be ignored. There's so much for us to know, and so this is why we seek the Lord in regard to any matter, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Very important. Verse 8. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah and the daughter of Aiah, whom she bore unto Saul, Armoni, Mephibosheth, the 5 sons of Micah, the daughter of Saul, she brought up from Adriel, the son of Esalei, of the Mephohai. He delivered them unto the hands of the Gibeonite, and they hanged them on the hill before the Lord, and they fell all 7 together, and were put to death in the day of the harvest, the first day at the beginning of the barley's harvest. If they did not remove this wickedness from the land, this evil from the land, they will have no good barley harvest to collect. Remember that in the famine, there's nothing to plant, my brother and sister, okay, out of the land or harvest. How is it that they have now to harvest? Because they have to remove the wickedness from among them. The curse, whatever brought the curse into the land, needed to be removed in order for the harvest to come. If you do this like David, if you have this attitude in your heart to do justice and right like David, you will have a harvest during the famine. This is why I'm reading this story to you. This is why we're reading this in the Bible. So we know the weight of the Lord. We know what pleases the Lord, what is righteous and just before him. And this was righteous and just before the Lord, that these wicked women will be removed from the land because of their evil. They brought a curse upon the land. God said he is going to judge people that are in government in the U.S., like Pelosi. And he's going to remove them from office because they have brought curses unto the United States land. And as long as they are in office, the curse continues, my brother and sister. And the barley, the abundance, the harvest, will not come into this land as it used to until these wicked men and women are removed from office. This has to happen. The Lord will do what he said. He has said to his prophet of the wickedness that are in the United States government. In other world, like the UK, these people in office need to be removed from office in order for, like David, righteous men of God, in regard to the matter of this wickedness in office, these wicked men and women in relationship to King Saul, to be removed out of office, my brother and sister, for the wickedness, for the curse, to be removed from the land. If we go into the 7-year famine without all these men and women removed from office, the famine will be sore. The famine in the United States will be the worst that we have ever seen. The reason why this nation is facing the worst famine is because of the wickedness in high office. My brother and sister, this is dangerous. These are the things that we need to pray for the church every day, for the wickedness to be removed from the highest office of the United States. In order for us to survive, in order for us to have a harvest, my brother and sister, during this coming famine. If this doesn't happen, if this act of righteousness, if this act of justice is not done in the United States before we enter the famine, hallelujah, the greatest famine this nation in the world has ever seen, what happened to this nation? The nation will not survive as it's done before, my brother and sister. But there will be a lot of people going hungry. But we that are still here alive, that remain until the coming of the Lord, the Paul says, hallelujah, are not looking forward unto them that died before us, but are looking forward to seeing justice in the land, righteousness in office, for God to remove the wicked from office and to put in office those that God wants in an office that will uphold justice and righteousness like David. The heart of David was for righteousness and justice. That's got to be the heart for you and I. David's heart was a heart according to God's heart. Our heart has to be the same, church. Brothers and sisters, our heart has to be the same like David. We cannot be any different. We would know that justice has to be a high standing, that righteousness has to be a high standing. If it's not there, it needs to be put there, my brother and sister. And God is the one that can do so. Our action to pray for this to happen will beg God to do this quickly, in order for this nation to be saved from the worst famine that is coming. This is not to be taken lightly, but this is to be taken to heart, my brother and sister. It's important. So, hallelujah. In the first day, the beginning of the barley harvest, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And Rebekah, the daughter of Leah, took sackcloth, spread it for herself on the rock from the beginning of the harvest unto the water, dropped on them out of heaven. And she suffered neither the bird of the air to rest on them by the day nor by the beast of the field by night. Neither the bird suffering. What is the death of all these birds in America? What's the sign? The dead fish. What's the sign? Look at it biblically. The sign says that there's curse in the land. My brother said, that's the sign. Curse in the land. Okay? God, when he turns around, they don't die. They don't drop dead anymore. My brothers, when the land is blessed. And it was told to David what Rebekah, the daughter of Aya, and the concubine of Saul has done. And they went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from them, of the Jebaliah, who has stolen them from the street of Eshaviva, where the Philistine had hanged them, and the Philistine has slain Saul in Gilboa, and brought them from hence, the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, and gather them in the bone who would hang. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried. They in the country of Benjamin Aphila, the sepulcher of Kish's father, and they performed all the king commanded after the God was entreated for the land. Amen. My brother and sister, moreover, the Philistine had yet word against Israel. David went down and his servant with him and fought against the Philistine. David was fainted. David has done so much, he was fainted. Dealing with this matter, it was hard for David, my brother and sister. And his enemy looked to take advantage that David fainted. But I want you to see that the Lord is in control. Hallelujah. And even though who was the son of the giant, that weighed, whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with new sword, hallelujah, thought to slay David, thought to kill him. This giant, whom before David had killed Goliath, now who was from the same place, thought, okay, I'll take advantage of this and kill David. But Abinisha, the son of Sawiah, succored him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. And the man David swore unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Since David was the light of Israel, was the one who appointed what was wrong. The light shows darkness completely, naked. The nakedness of darkness is shown through light. Whatever was sinful and wicked before God, David saw it because the light of the Lord was on him. And will point it out to the people quickly, my brother and sister. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistine and God. And the Savikai, the Hushavai, slew Slap, who was the son of the giants. And they were again battling God with the Philistine. No matter how it was going around, God was giving them the victory. After they took the step to restore justice and righteousness in the land, they began to have victory over their enemy. My brother and sister, that's why we need to stand for righteousness and justice in the land. And when they're so unjust in the land, we need to pray. You cannot overlook it and say, oh, it's fine, you know, hey, you know. No. No. Don't think it's okay. Have an attitude like David. Have a heart for God like David. And pray against all the stuff that is happening in our land today. That God will remove the wickedness and the evil from the high office, my brother and sister. Because the worst that people are going to see during the famine, what people are going to live if this wickedness is not removed from office, well, is the worst, sore, worst famine they ever lived, they ever seen in their life, my brother and sister. It is time that we go back to the weight of the Lord. Hallelujah. That not our will be done, but his will be done. Thank you, Lord. 24, 2 Samuel 24 now. Thank you, Jesus. Another famine. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 21. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And he said to move David against them to say, go number Israel in Judah. Look how the devil looked to 10 people to go into disobedience with God, my brother and sister. Because what the devil is planning to do in regard to the famine is that if you go into disobedience in 7 years famine, then the famine will ruin you, can ruin you, because the famine has already been spoken. My brother and sister, you never saw this story in regard to the famine, but I'll show you, hallelujah, why the devil wants to lead people into the famine in disobedience. You do not want to go into a famine in disobedience because you will lose more than what you are willing to, my brother and sister. Again, verse 2, for the king said unto Joab, the captain of the host, who was with him, go now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan even to Beersheba, number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people. And Joab said unto the king, Now the Lord thy God add unto thee, unto the people, how many soever they be, hundredfold, that the eyes of my Lord the king may see. But why does my Lord king delight in this thing? This thing to this righteous man of God seems not to be righteous, not to be good for him to do so, my brother and sister. He thought, wait a minute, why is the king willing to count the people to another number of other people, my brother and sister? He didn't think this was right. But when an order comes from the commander-in-chief, my brother and sister, to the people, they must, general, sergeant, must obey the order. There's nothing they can do, even if they don't agree. Verse 4. Notwithstanding that the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the captain of the host. There you go. Joab and the captain of the host went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. And they passed over the Jordan, pitched camp in Aroer, on the right side of the city that lie in the midst of the valley of Gad, and toward Jazer. And God was with the giant word that David, my brother and sister. Look how far the disobedience of David in this regard, the sin of David had gone to, even to the land of his enemy, my brother and sister. Verse says, then came to Gilead, to the land of the Tiphath. They came to Dathan about to Sidon. And they came to the threshold of Tyre, to all the city of the Hivatai and of the Canaanite, and they went out to the south of Judah, even to Beersheba. And when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem to the end of 9 months and 20 days. 9 months and 20 days this is going about, my brother and sister. Months are passing by, and the disobedience of David continued to increase. The sin of David continued to increase. Verse 9. Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto the king. And there were of Israel 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now I beseech you, Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. David's heart, my brother and sister, immediately, because our heart can discern. Bible said, if our heart rebukes us, greater is God. In other words, his heart was rebuking him. David, this is wrong. This is wrong. That's like some people say the yellow light and you going on and off. Or some people say the red light going off and on. Wrong. That yellow light going wrong. You're doing wrong. Don't do that. Not pleasing to the Lord. It's wicked. It's sin. It's evil. This was happening in David. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet of God, David seers, saying, go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I for thee three of them that I may do unto thee. So God came unto David and told him and said unto him, shall 7 years famine come unto thee in the land. Now, why is 7 years famine? Because a famine, 7 year famine, is under the curse. And it doesn't apply to us, my brother and sister. It doesn't apply to us. It will only apply to us, the seven-year famine, as a lack of anything when we are in sin and we are in disobedience. If you don't believe me, read Deuteronomy 28. Okay? Under the blessing, we are blessed. Under the curse, we are cursed, my brother and sister. Blessing is listening to the voice of the Lord thy God. But if you refuse to listen, it's the curse. How did the curse came into the garden? When Adam and Eve listened to the serpent instead of the voice of the Lord, who told them not to eat from the fruit of the tree. That in the day they will eat from it, they will die. They will open the door for death to begin to reign. My brother and sister. Okay? So obedience is a must in regard to us in order to be kept during the famine. Famine will come over the land and the world, but it's not supposed to affect us directly at all. Indirectly, may, because you're not going to find in the supermarket as much as you will find in the abundance. And whatever they have, you buy. You're able to purchase when other people cannot purchase much. Okay, that's the difference. Indirectly, but not directly. Not directly. Not your finance, not your lack of food, not your lack of provision. All that is taken care of by the Lord over your life, over your household, over your family. My brother and sister. Amen. So God came to David and told him, and said unto him, shall 7 years famine come unto thee in the land? Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thy enemy while they pursue thee? Because remember what he was in God. My brother and sister, it was the land of the giants. And if God was not with him, how would he be able to face 30 feet men? 90 feet men without the Lord. It was impossible. The only choice that he would have, if he would take that second choice, was to run. He would have to run for his life, my brother and sister. He would have to run for his life. So he know how he didn't have it. This choice, he's not going to take neither one, the famine or the, okay? The famine comes because of the disobedience. When he's in disobedience, that's the choice, famine. What's the second choice? Fleeing from your enemy. That's the second choice in disobedience, my brother and sister. Or shall there be 3 days of pestilence in the land? Now advise and see what the answer to return to him that sent me. The Lord now is waiting, my brother and sister, for an answer from David. But here's the part now where the rabbi will sit back and say, God is showing David's heart through this choice. God is showing the nations that this man he had chosen, showing his heart, that his heart is for God, no matter what the situation is. See, when you go through a hard time, whatever choice you make shows your real heart. My brother and sister, if you forsake the Lord and said, forget about all this and walk away, that's your real heart. Because, my brother and sister, light and darkness shine. Gold and fire becomes more pure. Gold doesn't die in fire. Gold doesn't go dark in fire. It shines even more. Light, even how dark it gets, more. That's you and I and the Lord. So if you go through a famine and you say, forget about God and all this and walk away, that's really what your heart is. It was never for the Lord. My brother and sister, that multitude that were following Jesus after they ate the bread and the fish, they walked away. They didn't follow him, neither did they follow his teaching. My brother and sister, this is why I remember when the Lord told me that there will be not many people following my ministry. Because it was never meant for the multitude. It was only meant for a few. He said he will bring, that they will learn, that he will prepare their life for him to bring them into heaven, my brother and sister. So when people tell me about millions and billions, and I said, okay, because I believe with God all things are possible. But the Lord talked to me about a few. As his ministry was only for 12, his church was only made of 12 members. So it's been my brother and sister, my calling. It's not for great multitude. Although great multitude can be blessed by the message, can be saved, can be delivered, and so much more, can come closer to the Lord in the relationship, but it was never meant for a great multitude. It was always meant for a little, my brother and sister. Because the Lord, hallelujah, and when the Lord means say a few, he means a few. That is the truth. Okay? Praise the Lord. So verse 13. David said unto God, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy of grace. Let me now fall into the hand, hallelujah, of men. Hallelujah. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from then even to Beersheba 20,000 men. Look how it went about, my brother and sister. Famine brings death. Pestilence brings death, my brother and sister. This is why, hallelujah, listening to the Lord and following his commandment, we are to be very careful, my brother and sister, because there are consequences when we don't. When we ignore them, when we don't keep them, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. It's very important of keeping his commandments. And we ask the Lord to help us. That's why Messiah Jesus said, well, God all things are possible. And so seek of God to help you every day. Seek him to help you to keep his commandment. Because he is the only one that came to fulfill the law. My brother, not to break it, but to fill it. Fulfill it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so grace is the fulfillment of the commandment, but in obedience. Because it's in obedience that David is blessed. And disobedience comes to curse unto the land. When you read Deuteronomy 28, that is under listening to his voice. That's relationship that you are blessed. When you listen to his voice, and the moment you turn away and not listen to his voice, no. No. That's why in the New Testament we are told, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit has to say. What the Spirit? What is the Spirit? The Word. Jesus said, the Word that I speak are Spirit and truth. Him who has an ear, listen to the Word Spirit say. My brother and sister, it's a spiritual Word of God going into our life, changing us. We open our ear and heart to receive it, and it will change us forever. It changes forever. It's not temporary. Forever. When you open your ears and heart, my brother and sister, your heart is for the Lord forever. You become a people for the Lord forever. When God chose Israel, what did God say about Israel? These people that have chosen them forever to be my people before me. It's forever. This calling is forever in the Lord and God. My brother and sister, that's why we are the seed of Abraham. That's why our DNA has Jewish blood DNA in us. My brother and sister. And only that DNA that comes all the way from Abraham through Israel, through Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, and all of them, that same DNA is what's in us today, my brother and sister. That's the DNA that is so valuable, that the enemy tried to corrupt with the blood of the fallen angel. Why did God have David and his men defeat the men of God, the giants? Because the giant came from the blood of the fallen angels. And that blood is the blood that the enemy, see here in this chapter we're reading, Satan came to tempt David. There were several reasons why the devil, okay, was trying to get to David. And it's because he wanted the blood of the Jewish people to be mixed with the blood of the giant. If the giant would have killed David at this appointed time that the devil was trying to do, then these giants take over Jerusalem, Judah. And what they do is they begin to marry the woman. He mixed the blood, contaminated blood of the Jewish people. But God never allowed that. God knew in the plan of Satan, my brother and sister, when the men of David saw that this giant was trying to kill David, he immediately jumped with his sword and killed the giant, my brother and sister. He immediately jumped. That was a supernatural action of this man. And God was with him. my brothers and sisters, these men that slew these giants, God's supernatural power was on the 12 tribes of Israel, my brothers and sisters. It was on David's men, hallelujah, and that's why they can slew a 30-foot giant, 17-foot giant, 11-foot giant. I was watching videos of the bones of 30-foot giant they have found, my brothers and sisters. Even in the United States, they have found bones of giants, my brothers and sisters, okay? And these bones, what the government and these people are doing, Rome's, and these people are doing, they're hiding the bones of giants. They have several bodies of giants. One, three of them were about 100 feet tall. And these archaeologists, scientists found them, were able to dig out these bones. You know that 3 days after the bone disappeared? And the man that was doing the report said, how did these bones disappear? Who took these bones? Who stole these bones? They have secret agents all over the world, paid by the highest offices to steal these bones and put them where nobody can find them. Microbes, secret bases, secret places where no humanity, no human beings on this earth can find these bones. Why are they hiding this truth? Well, you don't need to go. I don't need to become an archaeologist or scientist to go discover these bones. You know what I need to do? Believe the word of God when I read it. Okay? That's all I need to do. Believe the Bible. Father God has given us his word. What do we need to do? Believe it. If the Bible tells me the measurement of these giants, I look it up, I compare it. Okay, 30-foot tall giant. It's so. Amen. My brother and sister. That's what amen is. So be it. It is what God says. Okay? We don't need to dig out the bones. We know we had them. Okay? One of the reports that I heard lately was that there were giants not over in the United States just a little bit over 100 years ago. And how come no one knew about this? How come it has been kept so secret? And now they're finding evidence of this. Because that's what the government, the Catholic Church, and them are doing. They're hiding the truth, my brother and sister. And I'm a witness of that. Okay? Because I worked in a library at one time. And there were books with evidence there that the Catholic Church bought and made those books disappear while I was working there. So I'm a witness. I'm just a servant of the Lord. I believe his word. The rest is history and story, my brother and sister. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died from Dan even to Bathsheba 20,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented of the evil. Notice how anything can happen around Jerusalem, around Israel. But when it has to do with destroying Jerusalem, that cannot happen, my brother and sister. That cannot happen. Why, my brother and sister? Because Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Messiah is going to come to reign to Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Says Revelation 20, my brother and sister. Okay, 1,000 years he's going to reign. Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years. Okay? And everything in regard to Israel will be established back as it should. And they're going to say Mashiach is Messiah. The Jewish people are going to say Mashiach is Messiah. Simple. Fact. It will be established, my brother and sister. Okay? God, the Lord has spoken it. The Lord will fulfill it. Okay? So the Lord repented and said unto the angel who destroyed the people, enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the stretching place of Araunah, the Jebusite. And David spoke unto the Lord when he saw the angel who smote the people and said, lo, I have sinned. I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Lay thy hand I pray thee be against me and against the father of my house. Why is this being revealed to us? This is when the rabbis sat down and stretched down their beards and say, they go over their beards now. They stretch down their beards, the rabbis say. The question is, why is this happening to us? Why is this being known to us by God? And the reason why is this being revealed to us is, one, this has happened before. David is so special to God that God opened David's spiritual eyes and he saw the angel. He saw the angel. If anyone in past life or future life, God opened their eyes, they will also see the angel. The Lord has opened my eyes and I seen the angel of the Lord. God can open your eye and you also will see the angel. Like David. But your heart needs to be after God's own heart. Love, truth, and righteousness, and holiness. As long as your heart, your life stands for God, God, you can ask God to open your eyes and you also will see the angel like David. God is revealing many things through this story. Okay? That's what the second rabbi would say. What say thou? God is revealing many things through this story. God is revealing an angel who does righteous and just, who keep his word, who fulfill his word. My brother and sister, if we know as Christians that this angel is Messiah, that the angel of the Lord is Messiah. Rabbi would not say that. Rabbi would say it was an angel that God has chosen to do justice in his behalf and to bring judgment. In order, the angel came to correct disobedience, to punish evil, and to get David back into obedience. My brother and sister. And it's true. It is so. My brother and sister. But the message is that God is revealing David as one of his closest sons, his closest servants. My brother and sister. That although God has placed him as a king, David still has a great relationship with God. And God called Abraham his friend. But in David, my brother and sister, he is a son. He is called a son. And in regard to David, Messiah is called after he is born. Mashiach is called, okay, out of the root of David. What's the root of David? Well, your root is your foundation. The foundation of David is right justice and righteousness and holiness. Messiah comes out of that foundation. Messiah comes with that foundation to establish it back to the nation of Israel. But he doesn't only establish it in the nation of Israel. He establishes holiness, righteousness to the whole world, my brother and sister. That's the root of David. Holiness is the root of David. Righteousness is the root of David. Justice is the root of David. That's what Messiah stands for. That's what Messiah is about. My brother and sister, that's the root of David. My brother and sister. And that cannot be changed. Because that's how it's been established by God. God, David has a heart according to God's own heart. If it's according to us, God, on heart is holiness, righteousness, and justice. That's what Messiah stands for. If you want to understand relationship with God, with Jesus, you want to walk with him, you want to talk to him, you want to know him one-on-one, that's his foundation, holiness, righteousness, and justice. When one of those are broken, he acts, he responds. My brother and sister, he corrects the wrong in our lives when we are called and chosen by him. Israel was chosen by God. So God cannot let the foundation that he established in Israel be changed, be removed. That's why he removed Saul, because Saul corrected, so broke justice, he damaged holiness and righteousness in Israel. God has to remove him. But not only did he remove him, he rejected the soul, according to the prophet Samuel. You know what rejected means? I have nothing to do with you, with Saul, God says. He had everything to do with David, but had nothing to do with Saul, with King Saul. He rejected him. And not only him, it's his generation. Notice how the generation of Saul is punished. How in this story, in the story before, they were killed in 2 Samuel 21. The generations of Saul were hanged. David had to give it unto the enemy for them to hang them, to kill them. They were being removed. My brother and sister, because some of you will say, but the rule, the generation is the seed. Amen. They were, the seed was also removed. But the root is the foundation. Every tree root is found, is the foundation of the tree, or the tree will fall. If you cut the root, the tree will fall. That's the foundation. Holiness, righteousness, and justice. And if those three are moved, you have no Messiah. You have no life. You have no hope. When people break one of these, they lose hope. They lose faith. They lose relationship, my brother and sister. Everything goes downhill. Messiah stands for that. That's the root of David. And as long as you seek him this way, that's exactly how he's going to lead you to. What's missing in his life? Three things: righteousness, holiness, and justice. And these things are removed. Righteousness talks about right standing with God. Justice is doing the will of God, my brothers and sisters. And holiness is living separated. God told Israel, I have separated you as a nation unto myself. That's what holiness is. God separating you unto himself, my brother and sister. When one of these are broken, there's no relationship with God. No relationship. You're in the process of restoration, but not relationship. God is restoring you. You're saying, I'm sorry to God, help me, change me. You're being restored because these things are broken in your life. And God needs to restore them back the way it should be with him. Messiah is the way. Messiah is the truth. Messiah is the life. Three things Messiah is: holiness, righteousness, and justice. The way, the truth, and the life. Through these ways, God established a relationship with him. Through Messiah being the way. When one is broken, you have no communion. You have no union with God, my brother and sister. And that's where people say, but God is not talking to me. Oh, because you got to see what's broken. What is broken? The world right now is about to go into 7-year famine. Shemitah. And they don't even know that this is the third Shemitah, third famine, which rabbis say is the worst. I already looked at some of the rabbis that are together for Germany, France, Israel. The leadership from Israel have already sent out the word around the world about this famine that is coming next year. That they already expect it to be the worst. What did they do this summer? They pull out all their money out of the stock market. Over $30 trillion pull out quickly. What do you think happened to the stock market? They began to pull it. June, July, August, they begin to move. Some of the rabbis will leave it until September, but they'll begin to all remove their money out of the stock market. It's how they've done it for thousands of years, if you're wondering, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. And don't remove it. And everything goes to the cloud high. Unable to purchase. Fruit comes to be something so high in price right now. My brother and sister. I contacted a local nursery this past week to ask how much would it be for a peach tree. A peach tree that was around $30, $20, $25 the other day. $162. They won now. And I asked the man why, and he says, they are almost impossible to find. That's the word he says to me. Everything is going higher. Okay? It's a national security. The fruit tree, fruit right now, have become a national security in the United States. The famine is approaching quickly. 7-year famine. Who will be standing? The reason why David was standing is because David's heart, life was according to the Lord's heart. If we want to be standing, we need to be like David, my brother and sister. We need to have a heart for God, for Messiah, in the last day. Continue to repent daily. Continue to seek the Lord daily. God can keep us and protect us through the worst. And like Elisha, he fed them. He used the bird to feed Elisha in the famine. At that time, the land was in the famine, and there was no food to eat, nothing. But God fed Elisha near the river through the bird, my brother and sister. The same famines are coming. Again, the third famine is the worst. You got the first and second that you can make it through and not be the worst. But in the third, according to the Bible, you cannot even plant or harvest. The land bear no fruit. People have not seen that in the United States. As long as I remember, I'm 49 years of age, came to the United States in 1986. My brother and sister had not seen that sore famine upon this land. Okay? This famine coming soon is called sore famine. It's the third famine upon this land. It's up to God whether he'll change it and to just be like the 2008 famine or keep it as it is. One of the reasons that may stay like that is I just read to you the pouring of the blood of the innocent can keep the famine sore. David repented, my brother and sister, for this and corrected the injustice in order to fix this problem. David fixed the problem and was able to have a harvest in the famine. We can do the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that the same opportunity they had, we have. We need to take our heart like David before God and seek to do what justice, righteous, my brother and sister, and separation into holiness. Very important. We learn from the past to correct our present and our future. That's what God is doing, teaching us. Before we get to the book of Revelation, I have so much to share about famine through the whole Bible. We're going to continue to share more about famine, how that it came to the land, how that it affected the people. We're doing it all these Tuesday nights. I don't know how many nights. It'll be 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't know. I believe before this year is over, we need to be in the Word about this famine, my brother and sister. I believe it is a must. If someone misses this message, they need to hear it again before they can go into the second teaching, because we are going to bring this teaching from the Word of God. We're going to explain this, my brother and sister. We will pray even for more. This famine coming in 2022 may be one of the most severe famine that has hit the United States and humanity. Nothing has changed so far. The shedding of the innocent of blood in New York City and in a different state of the United States is still there. No law has been changed in the land. Donald Trump wanted to change the law, but he could not. He did not. And that injustice will not go unpunished by God. My brother and sister, it will not. It has to be punished. They have to pay for this. It's biblical. It's in the Bible. You can look it up. You can read about it and know. But this is capital. God always promised to his people blessing. My brother and sister, I have a a word from the sister from Canada. Hallelujah. Yes, abortion in New York City. Amen. Prophetic word from yesterday. Listen to this word.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me for another prophetic word. Today is June the 28th of 2021. As always, when I am waiting on the Lord to hear from him, it is impressed upon my heart that the Lord has promised his people many things, and that we as his people are waiting for him to perform his wonders that he has promised. And these promises are not just for us, that we can have joy and live an abundant life, but they are also for the Lord himself, because he paid a great price to purchase us for himself. His plan of redemption cost him his life, and yet he followed through because of God's great love for us. So the Lord himself is not defeated. He has a plan and agenda to raise up a people for himself who will walk in victory. This is his prize, and our prize, of course, is that we have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and we know that when we leave this world, we will live with him forever. So it is a win-win situation for us and for the Lord. And in today's word, once again, the Lord expresses his plan and his involvement in our lives. And even though we don't always see his involvement, he is still working behind the scenes, raising us up, positioning us into a place of victory. I know this word will encourage you today as the Lord shares his heart, because he has triumphed over the enemy and he is claiming his prize. I'll begin by reading scripture. Joel 2:25-26. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. This verse to me expresses the heart of God. We have gone through trials and troubles, and the enemy has stolen from us, but the Lord is not leaving us in that predicament. He's coming to restore back to his people everything the enemy has stolen. He desires that his people walk in victory and favor and are not put to shame. So this is a great promise the Lord has given us of his intentions for us. Isaiah 61:7. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. This too is a promise God gave to his people, a promise of blessing upon their lives and of joy. 1 Peter 5:10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Once again, this is another promise, an amazing promise that we can hold on to, telling us that the Lord will never leave us in a state of disappointment, but that he will come and restore his people once again. I'll begin reading the word. This is the day and the hour when I shall institute praise in the earth, says the Lord, when I shall raise up a banner of holiness and draw all men into a vital relationship with the Lord their God. I am replacing idolatry with worship of the only true God. I am taking down the altars of Baal and laying to waste everything that men have esteemed, that they might be directed into the way eternal. I am resisting the enemy, and I shall take the victory, says the Lord. I am slaying the giant that mocks the army of the Lord, and raising up a remnant that will march through the land to snatch out of hell's flames those who have been taken captive. I am breaking the yokes of slavery off the people and introducing them to a fresh new taste of the Lord. I will visit my people, says the Lord. I shall make myself known among them. I shall establish my covenant promises with them. I will not destroy them, but I shall make a great nation out of them. They shall shine in the kingdom of God. They shall radiate the brightness of the sun. They shall reflect his glory, says the Lord. Just like I've promised, I've come. Just like I told you, I'm here. I will fulfill your heart's desires. I will fulfill my word to you. And in this day, I will make my name known to all. Watch to see what I do. Wait to see how I answer you, my beloved. I have stored up for you abundant blessing, and in this day I will pour it forth over you. I will not leave you on your own. I will not leave you alone. I promised that I would be with you even till the end of time. So let it be made known that I have come, that I have triumphed in this day, and will restore everything stolen, and even more to you. I will give back to you your sons and daughters. I will fulfill my promises, and you shall be blessed, says the Lord, and you shall run and skip for joy. For I have desired that you serve me, and I have required that you honor me, and I have seen your heart and your cry for help. I have seen your plight, and I will come to you, says the Lord. I will restore to you your sons and daughters, and give you the land, and you shall possess it and dress it. I have fulfilled my word to you. I have gone on before you to make ready a place for you, where you will be forever free from trials and fears and lack of hope and faith. I have triumphed in this day. I have made the way, says the Lord. So go in peace, and may my hand of blessing be upon you. Triumph over all your enemies. Rejoice, rejoice, my love, for I have shown you favor. This is the day of no defeat for those who have trusted in me. I will crown them, and they shall march out in splendor along with their king. I am taking my army across the land, and I will bring justice and peace to those who have put their trust in me, says the Lord. I will capture the hearts of those who have gone astray and lead them home to the Father's house. So be of good cheer, for I have arrived on the scene with help. I have guarded and protected your loved ones and will carry them home to the Father's house. They shall serve and honor me with their hearts and lives and be willing to lead the stranger to a place to receive healing and forgiveness through my shed blood. They shall lead and be instrumental to bringing in the harvest. You will see the answer to all your cries, says the Lord. You shall see it in this day, and you shall experience it in this day. I have commanded it, and it shall be done. As I mentioned, this word is a word that will encourage all of us that the Lord loves us and that he is accomplishing all that he intends to accomplish, that we are not without victory. We are not defeated in this world, that the Lord is raising up his church to be victorious. And he's giving us the desires of our heart. He's hearing and answering our prayers, and he's coming in response. And we can give thanks to him with a grateful heart because his promises are true. He never fails us, and he never lies to us. So be encouraged in this day that great things are ahead for us who believe in him. Thank you for listening today, and may the Lord bless you on this day. May he cause you to prosper in all that you do. Be blessed of him. In Jesus' name. Till next time, bye for now.
According to many stock market experts, investors are now experiencing the biggest U.S. fantasy trip of all time. Thanks to reckless Federal Reserve policies, trillions in government stimulus, and the speedy vaccine distribution. However, the crazy market mania will likely end in tears as major risks are being overlooked. It's been just over a year since the last stock market crash, which led to a 35% drop, and then the fastest rebound ever recorded. Fueled by an unprecedented amount of printed money, record low interest rates, investors' speculative frenzy resulted in what's being called the greatest stock market bubble of all times. Various measures can prove so. Debt and margin levels are at peaks. Trading volume is indicating bullish sentiment, and volumes on call option volume and over-the-counter penny stocks are at records. The last 12 months have been a classic finale to an 11-year bull market, said Jeremy Grantham, financial historian and co-founder of the investment firm GMO. Checking all the necessary boxes of a speculative peak, the U.S. market was entitled, historically, to start unraveling any time this year. Things are even more dangerous this time around because the bond, stock, and real estate markets are all inflated together, Grantham added, highlighting that even commodity prices are soaring. That trifecta and a half has never happened before anywhere. The closest before was Japan in 1989, he said. The consequences for the economy were dire, and neither land nor stocks have yet returned to their 1989 peaks, he exclaimed. It seems that we're now on the same path that pushed Japan to economic ruin in the early 90s, but today the stakes are even higher, since one market failure can lead to the simultaneous crash of the markets that glue the financial world together. To analyze today's market bubble, it's necessary to start by looking at what Grantham and several others have been calling the most inflated asset, and that is Bitcoin. Grantham, a historian of bubbles, explained in a wide-ranging Bloomberg interview that Bitcoin is in a bubble similar to the Nasdaq at the peak of the dot-com frenzy of the early 2000s. Back then, the Nasdaq 100 fast and furious 50% drop was a major warning sign for the broad market, but many decided to ignore it. Right now, the same is happening to Bitcoin, which declined by 50% over the past 2 months. Jeremy Grantham said, probably the asset that most resembles the Nasdaq in 2000 is Bitcoin, and it has been cut in half over the last several weeks. In 2000, the Nasdaq crashing 50% was a perfect warning shot for the broad market 6 months in advance, Grantham outlined, suggesting that the recent Bitcoin crash could be interpreted as a signal of an upcoming stock market crash. Although some crypto bulls argue that Bitcoin isn't directly correlated to other asset classes, and therefore they defend that investors should include an allocation to it in their portfolios, according to Grantham, Bitcoin should be avoided because it's not a viable hedge. The same logic applies to Dogecoin and other meme cryptocurrencies. Dogecoin was created as a joke to make fun of cryptocurrencies being worthless. And not only has it taken off, but it's such a success that second-level joke cryptocurrencies making fun of Dogecoin have gone to multi-billion dollar valuations. Meanwhile, other cryptocurrencies have seen success purely on the basis of their scatological names, Grantham said. Cryptocurrencies total over $1 trillion of claims on real global assets while adding nothing to the GDP pool. Pure dilution, the expert noted. Of course, Bitcoin isn't the only bubble out there, but its downward trajectory is making market veterans who predicted previous crashes extremely worried. A couple of weeks ago, Robert Kiyosaki, famous investor, author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, tweeted the following. The biggest bubble in world history is getting bigger. The biggest crash in world history is coming. I'm waiting for Bitcoin to drop to $24,000. Grantham and Kiyosaki's warnings were just the latest of the cautionary advice coming from long-term market watchers. In an interview with Business Insider, Tays Asset Management CEO and founder Phil Tays compared the insanity of the current market to tulip bulb mania in the Netherlands. Now, the tulip mania is one of the most famous stock market bubbles in history. It took place during the 1600s when the price of exotic tulip bulbs surged to today's equivalent of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Obviously overvalued, prices sharply plunged, and the bubble burst. We're living in history through something that's as bizarre as tulip mania, and everybody's just like, saying it's fine, he described. On April 9th, Tays, who's been an investment manager for 3 decades, posted this on the company's website. It used to be that excesses were followed by depressions, which allowed for inefficiencies to be worked out of the system. However, through efforts of the government and the Federal Reserve, the natural cycle of boom and bust seems to have been replaced by a boom-boom cycle, interrupted with sporadic and spectacular temporary market crises. The confluence of events that includes easy money and government stimulus has created a situation where we no longer have to look back almost 400 years to tulip mania to wonder how could such lunacy prevail. We are now living with real-time examples of modern digital tulip-level bubbles. Despite these excesses, with economies reopening and fiscal stimulus still flowing, we may still be in the early stages of what may later be viewed as the bubble to eclipse all prior bubbles, he alerted. Over the past 12 months, the pace of stock price growth has been simply outstanding. Despite all of the economic turmoil we're still facing, the S&P 500 and other indexes have been recording one record high after the other, and several stocks are hitting new highs with each passing day. Meanwhile, the number of IPOs has skyrocketed. There's been an epic rush of special purpose acquisition companies, or SPACs, which have raised $400 billion from investors to pursue acquisitions throughout the past year. It's undeniable that this investment environment has become dangerously euphoric, especially considering that most new investors have been fueling stock bubbles of new, unproven companies in an attempt to make a quick buck. Evidently, speculators are often attracted to the easy gains a stock bubble can sometimes offer. But things can get out of control pretty fast, wiping out all of these gains before investors even have time to close down their wallets. As Michael Burry recently noted, amongst the telling signs of rampant speculation in the market are the huge increases in volume and prices in formerly under-the-radar stocks, as well as the enormous popularity of penny stocks and the increased amount of dubious investing advice on message boards and stock touts. It's in times like these that speculation reaches a fever pitch. And since valuations aren't supported by tangible economic prospects, investors are set to get bitterly disappointed. Now, of course, during normal times, stocks go up when they release good news, such as sudden upside earnings, and fall when they don't meet investors' expectations. But when the stock market's in a bubble, investors run to buy stocks regardless of bad news and bleak outlooks. They tend to come up with excuses for underperforming stocks and choose to stay optimistic about future growth. In these situations, stocks go up no matter how big the risks seem to be. Suze Orman of Personal Finance Media Personality has also warned about this issue, saying, "I like what I see happening in the market right now. The economy has been horrible, but the stock market has been going," she said in a video for CNBC. Exceedingly high valuations, both Taze and Orman add, have considerably contributed to making the current stock market bubble ready to burst. One major example of it can be seen in tech stocks, which skyrocketed this past year, despite the fact that many of them failed to meet their earnings expectations. Ultimately, this market will fail, and potentially spectacularly fail, primarily because of valuations, Taze stressed, affirming that he expects a downturn of about 30% as the economy rebounds, and the Fed will have no choice but to hike interest rates again. Orman emphasized that these kinds of markets do not benefit the average American at all, and cautioned investors of an important thing to always keep in mind. The stock market is not the economy. Billionaire investor Ray Dalio, who spent years studying stock market bubbles and economic cycles, has alerted about the same problem during a recent Robin Hood conference. The founder of Bridgewater explained that the top 5% of stocks are in a huge bubble. Once that bubble pops, it'll spark a cascade of other failures within the market. All of these warnings are exposing the ever-growing cracks in the Wall Street plumbing, pointing out that a devastating crash can occur at any time. At the end of March, one under-the-radar hedge fund, Archegos Capital Management, blew itself up, taking down by 50% the share prices of some of the stocks it had pumped up, using 85% leverage. Several big investment banks had made the highly leveraged margin loans to Archegos, such as Credit Suisse, Nomura, UBS, Morgan Stanley, and others. When Archegos couldn't meet the margin loans and collapsed, the banks lost more than $10 billion. But that financial disaster revealed that Wall Street big banks were engaging in their old games again, secretly loaning out their balance sheets to hedge funds while denying to the public and regulators its ability to see the massive levels of concentrated risk. At this point, the only thing holding the Wall Street house of cards together is the New York Fed's willingness to pump trillions of dollars into the financial markets at the earliest sign of a hiccup. The problem is that the New York Fed is essentially owned by these same Wall Street big banks, while at the same time it creates emergency bailout programs, then outsources the work to the banks being bailed out. As the economy reopens and inflationary pressures mount, there will be no other alternative to prevent the economy from overheating rather than rising interest rates. Needless to say, speculators will overreact and sell off their risky assets, taking the market down at a time its foundations have been corroded by the imbalances created by the current monetary policies. But one thing is certain, when the stock market bubble bursts and an epic crash occurs, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell won't be able to sit before Congress and tell lawmakers that nobody could have seen it coming. All of these market veterans have been warning for months that we're about to witness a crash of unprecedented proportions. And all of those who have decided to ignore the risks will face a reckoning they will never forget.
Go forward.
to a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years and I'll restore health and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord.